God. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? I'll tell you what, I know you're hungry for the Word. You know, you're in church, you're here when there was a lot of excuses not to be. And of course, we know and understand that, you know, sometimes those things are legitimate. You know, we understand that. But you're here, and God's got a plan for us in this service. And let's just get into the Word and rejoice over it. Go with me in your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 54 in verse 1. And I'm going to call this message here today, Breakout and Breakthrough. Breakout and Breakthrough. I'm going to tell you, of course, you know, over the course of the last a few weeks and the few services here since the new year started, we've been talking about the power of joy. Last week, we taught a message called Answer It, and we looked over there at Proverbs 15:23 that says, a man will have joy by the answer of his mouth, all right? And that meant more than just words. It meant having a response when things, you know, come against you in this life. You know, when lack, you know, showed up in Jesus's life, when he faced the fig tree over there in Mark chapter 11, it says that he answered it. He answered it, you know, and it wasn't just the tree that he was speaking to. He was speaking to the lack. He was speaking to that thing, you know, that was trying to hold him back in that life. You know, and of course, Jesus went on to tell them, hey, that's the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. And we said this last week, so many Christians, they think that God's going to move mountains for them in their life. He's not. And I know that really, you know, flips out our religious thinking, and, you know, and it undoes our theological thinking and stuff, and it challenges our doctrine. But how many of you know we got to have it challenged? Because many Christians are sitting around waiting for God to do something in their life. All right? So many people are waiting for God to have a breakout. Waiting for God to have a breakthrough, all right? But you're going to see today that the breakout is up to us. The breakthrough is on our side. We have a part to play. And that's why over the last couple of weeks, we've been ministering on joy and, you know, choosing to have joy, counting it all joy. I'll tell you, don't let the devil steal your joy in this life. It's a choice. Praise and worship is a choice. And here is the major problem, all right, that we all have to address in our lives. Christians are far too often relying upon their emotions to see God do something in their life. They're waiting, they're reacting to only what they see, they're reacting to what they feel, they're allowing their emotions, you know, to tell them how to respond and how to act. They're going by just what they see and what they feel. Folks, how many of you know we do not walk by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. How many of you know faith is not about what you feel? Faith is not about what you see. Faith is about what you believe. And Jesus said, faith is about what you say. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, explaining the God kind of faith, he said, "For you know, verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the words which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Of course, it all begins with believing God's word, but how many of you know you've got to believe your word? You've got to believe your word. And so many, you know, believers, they're sitting around, they're just waiting for circumstances to change. You know, they're letting circumstances carry them along in life like a breeze carries a feather, you know? They're allowing the devil to come in and, you know, and eat their lunch and steal their joy. No, you better have an answer for it. Jesus answered it. Remember, Jesus did not allow discouragement or disappointment to steal his faith. Remember, he came to the fig tree and it says, if happily. See, at first he was happy for what he thought was going to happen. But then he looked at the fig tree and it had no fruit and he could not eat. But how many of you know he didn't allow that discouragement to steal his answer? And so he released his answer. He said, no one's going to eat, you know, fruit from you from hereafter. Peter and the disciples, they saw that a day later. You know, Jesus said that was the God kind of faith. He said, if you'll speak to the mountain, if you will believe the things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Nowhere in the Bible did God ever say he was going to move the mountain for you. He said, nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus moves mountains for you. It says he gave you the God kind of faith so that you would move the mountain for you. Amen. And so let's not be just, you know, addicted to our feelings or just addicted to emotions. All right. There's a breakout. There's a breakthrough for 2020 for those that are a part of this church and also the body of Christ, if they'll jump on board. All right. But again, the responsibility is going to be on your side. So many times people are waiting for something to move them. They'll come into church and they'll wait for a song to move them. Hey, how about we turn it around? How about instead of our praise and worship team moving us, how about we move them? Amen. You know what I mean by that? You know, I mean that we bring something to the table where we're praising and we're worshiping, we're bringing a supply. Some people, they're waiting for some good circumstance to come into their life to move them. You've got it backwards. God does not take the desolate people and say, well, let's just wait and hopefully time will go by and you'll get out of it. You know, he's going to give instruction for those that are walking in a desolate place, and he's going to tell them, you break out, you break through. That word breakout, just the English word for it, it simply means this. It means to take force and to get away from something. We're going to need to take some force in 2020. And understand how God works so we're not left out of it. Go over there to Isaiah chapter 54. I'll tell you what, it's good not to be helpless in this life. I'm not just going to sit by and allow every circumstance in this life to tell me what's going on. I'm not going to wait for something to move me. All right? Now let's go over to Isaiah chapter 54 in verse 1. And in these scriptures, at this time, Israel was in a place of great desolation. You know, they were in a time where, you know, the walls were broken down. Jerusalem had been sacked by enemies. You know, it was a desolate, dry place. The economy was in shambles. The Jewish nation was in shambles. The worship system was in shambles and all of this. And here in the midst of all this desolation, God gives the Israelite people these instructions. Now, folks, I know, how many of you believe God to be a good writer? The Heavenly Father is a good writer. But how many of you know his goal is not poetry? I've seen these verses written on things. I've seen people, you know, they're put on cards. You know, these things are very poetic. But God did not write them to be poetic. He wrote them to instruct us for the way out. Amen. Look at Isaiah 54, and we're going to start right there in verse 1, and I'm going to read just the first four verses. That's as far as we need to go. It says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear or have children, break forth into singing and cry aloud, or other translations say, shout. Sing, O barren, those that did not bear. Break forth into singing and shout out loud, you that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Verse 2, he says, enlarge the place of your tent or your living place. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now he's talking about their living tents, all right? He's saying that place where you live, make it bigger because I'm going to fill it. Take and stretch out and move out. Lengthen your cords, all right? Stretch forth the curtains. Look at verse 3. He says, for you shall break forth. Or literally we could say it this way, for you shall break out. You shall break out, for you shall break out on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. All right, we're going to go back over these verses again, because this is what God is saying to desolate people. This is what he's saying to people when it appears nothing is moving, nothing is going right in their lives. He says, break out. He's like, you're going to break out on your right and on your left. In all aspects of your life, you're going to break out. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God has been saying that to me for weeks and months now. Breakthroughs or breakouts are coming to this church. Amen. Verse 4. Fear not. There's another instruction. For you shall not be ashamed, neither will you be confounded or confused. For you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more. All right. Now let's go back up there to verse 1 and let's start getting into this. How many of you know these are instructions for us? Now I don't need to ask for the lifting of hands, but how many of you, I mean, you like to see your habitation stretch forth, right? You'd like to, and I don't mean just having a bigger house or it's not just about material things, but you'd like to see God become bigger in your life, do something great in your life. Now, in verse 1, he's giving instructions to Israel. If you don't want to be desolate anymore, if you don't want to be barren anymore, if you don't want to be the uninhabitable anymore, he says, sing. He said, sing. He said, sing, O barren, those that did not bear. And now he says, break out or break out into singing. Notice again, God is not going to be the one to break out and do the singing for you. He is telling his people, he's like, you want me to move? He's like, you have got to break out with that praise, with that worship. Folks, 2020, we are participating from the front row to the back. Oh, glory to God. And he says, here's the second instruction. He says, cry out loud or have a shout. Yes. You that did not travail with child, or you could say it this way, those of you that went without. He says, shout with praise. Sing and break through with singing. He says, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. All right, go over there. We're in verse 1. Here's instruction number 1. Break forth. All right, break forth. It's amazing to me sometimes how mopey Christians can be in the house of God. And I don't say that to, you know, attack anybody. I'm not saying that to criticize. But folks, our countenance, it matters how we come into church. So many people have misunderstood how God moves. You know, they're waiting for something to, you know, move for them. They're waiting for something to move them. Folks, you're the one that gets things moving. In your life and in your church, the pastor cannot move you, right, by himself. The music cannot move you. There's got to come a moment in your life where you decide, I'm going to break out. I'm going to break forth. In 2020, it is time to do things that you have never done before. It is time to put down your own self-personality and your self-consciousness. Get God conscious. Crucify that flesh. Step out against your emotions, against your feelings, and start praising God and giving him the worship that he has always desired out of his people. Notice that this was completely separate from emotions. Folks, before I go any further, you know, I know sometimes people, you know, they show up to church here and they want to be taught, you know, a theological message. They want a doctrine. They want things to get interesting. But all of a sudden you start preaching about the responsibilities of the church goer. All of a sudden they're not interested anymore. You know, and they start turning, you know, shutting you off or whatever because this does not fit their personality. Folks, I'm trying to deliver the message because God's got breakthroughs and they're not automatic. All right. And the reason why God told them to sing and to shout, because that was the last thing that they felt like they wanted to do. All their emotions told them, look how desolate it is. Look at how nothing we have. Look at how nothing's moving. The walls are broken down. The economy's destroyed. Nothing's going right. All right. everything in their emotions told them, hey, just mope around, act sad, be the wet, soggy blanket on Sunday morning, you know? Come on now. The Lord is going to give you instruction to put your emotions on the edge where you absolutely almost cringe to step out and obey that leading. He says, sing. And they, you know, that isn't God being poetic. Sing, O barren. Break forth, you know. And people will almost recite it like a poem. But the question is, are you doing it? Are we willing to do it? Amen. Here's what we have to be careful. Notice this. Your emotions are there to try to steal the instructions of the Lord from your life. But Pastor, I don't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't sound good to me. That is exactly where those Israelites were when all of a sudden, you know, they wanted God to defeat Babylon. They wanted a God to come and destroy the enemy armies. And yet God shows up and says, all right, we're going to stretch forth your lands. We're going to give you breakout. All this stuff is going to flow into your life. But the first thing you need to do is sing. He didn't say, hey, go fashion a sword. You know, he didn't say, hey, go get a horse. Go get ready for battle. Come on now, folks. God didn't say, you know, notice what he's saying. You know, sometimes people, they need more provision in their life. They're like, okay, I got to run out and get a new job. Well, maybe if God's leading you, but before that even, you need to sing. Before that, you need to shout. Before you run out and, you know, and you know, distract yourself with, you know, all these new work hours so that you can't be in the house of God. He said, first things first, get responsive with God. Yes. He says, sing, O barren. Why? And of course, go down there to verse 2. And these are the results, right? He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. All right? So many people want to be enlarged in life. You know, they want God to fill every aspect of their life. But notice verse 2 is the result for those that are being doers of verse 1. Before God's going to move, before he's going to stretch anything out and make that thing more of a blessing in your life, he needs someone to sing. I know, it's real simple. Why? Because praise will start to break things off of you. The depression that your emotions brought to you, praise is going to break it off from you. There is no other way to handle depression in this life except having some praise on your lips. Amen. He told us over there in Isaiah 61, verse 3. You're right over there. Just turn a page or two. Go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Wasn't planning on just turning over here, but since you're there, again, he's talking to these desolate people. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We would call that depression. That they might be called trees of righteousness, that means unmovable, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Have you put on the garment of praise? So much, we live in the days, there's this depression is running rampant. You know why? Because praise and worship is at an all-time low in the body of Christ. Oh, we have more bands than we've ever had before. We have more Christian rock CDs than we ever had before. We have a lot of people being entertained more than ever before. We got the laser lights and all the disco whirly gigs and all these things. But what we have less of is participation from every born-again believer in the body of Christ. Today, the average believer wants to be sung to. They don't want to do the singing. You know, they'll look at these people and say, okay, well, that's their job. No, that's our job. Break out and break through. If you have spent your Christian life being silent in the house of God, let 2020 be your breakout year. 2020 will be the year that you will actually release your praise and worship. Regardless who's standing on the right, regardless who's standing on your left, in front, or behind you, you don't care what people think anymore. I'll tell you what. We live in the day. Remember when there was such a thing in our society as coming out of the closet? Well, that's long gone because I don't think that closet exists anymore. But I'll tell you what, where it does exist, unfortunately, is for born-again believers that are hiding their praise and worship. They're storing their treasure in a dark place. It is time for God's people to have a breakout. Oh boy, I could say some things that make some people mad. Evil is not scared to show themselves anymore. Evil is out there. They are bold. They are out front. They are vocal. They are all these things. But yet believers are less vocal. Well, I tell you what, we better have a breakout. You know, we can't let, this unbelieving world and people that champion the causes of evil to be more responsive. Yes. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, this is just charismatic Pentecostal craziness. No, it's not. See, that was one reason why the Holy Ghost was sent on the day of Pentecost. The first thing he gave people is a way to vocalize. Yes, amen. You know, it's not just, poetry or something that God was trying to be poetic. He says, sing. He says, shout out loud. Break forth into singing. He said that to people standing in the dirt with nothing. He didn't tell them, okay, first thing you need to do is build that wall. First thing you need to do is build yourself a house. First thing you need to do is fashion a sword and get ready to fight. He said, the first thing you need to do is sing. The first thing you need to do is shout. Because nothing in this life is going to work until you get God's presence showing up all around you. Depression and anxiety. We have more of it in our society than ever because we have less praise and worship than ever. All right? You're going to have to make a decision in this new year. You're going to have to decide, I am going to be different than I've ever been before. We're not trying to rally people to get crazy. You know what I mean? Or you're competing to be the loudest person in the room. But if you're in a place where you have never broken out and lifted your holy hands to God, this is your year. You know, if you've never actually, during praise and worship, just shouted out, Father, I just praise you. Lord, I thank you and I glorify you. Father, you are so good. You're holy God. If you've never done that before, this is your year. If you're standing there letting the flesh dictate how you act in the house of God, it's time to break out of that. Say, well, man, you know, this just seems a little radical or a little weird. No, it's not radical or weird. All right, this is the instructions of the Lord when people are standing on the verge of a breakthrough. Yes. Folks, I'll say it this way. Just count it as a word of prophecy. There's many people that you're standing here and you're in a tough spot right now. But on the other side, God sees a great breakthrough for you. Do you see? They're standing there in the dirt. And God is trying to say from the other side, listen, there's an enlarged habitation for you. There's inhabitations for you. There's a filling and a great restoration on the other side that you can't see. But it's about time that someone will act like they see it before they see it. Because if they were mopey, you know, if they were, you know, sad, the sadness and the depression was what everything around them was showing them. You cannot act by what you see in this life naturally. Because when you let those emotions, you say, oh, what are we going to do? We're not going to make it. This is going on and we don't have this. And this is coming down around our life. See, what that is that's the emotional response to things seen. But faith is the reaction to things unseen. Folks, we are going to have to step out in faith and act like we see the breakthrough without being able to see the breakthrough. He says, enlarge your vision. He He says, imagine, go ahead and with your heart, see a habitation that's larger, with greater curtains, stronger stakes, longer cords. One of, you know, my greatest desires as a pastor is to get people living beyond their emotional state. That is the human experience where things happen around you, and you're always emotionally reacting. You have got to learn to shut down that emotional reaction and learn to break through with a reaction of faith. He says, sing like you see the larger habitations now. He said, shout like you can see the redemption now. Someone's going to have to, at some point, have an eye of faith and say, I see it now. Glory to God. So, well, I wanted to be taught about this, and I'd rather be taught about Melchizedek. I'd rather hear about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Let's have a sermon, you know, about the book of Revelation. Well, come to, you know, Sunday school and things, and we teach those things. I'm not trying to diminish any of that. But sometimes, you know, Christians want to be interested instead of challenged. Say, well, you know, the Bible says lift up those feeble hands. Pick up those feeble knees. You know, it is time, you know, for many of us, you know, either to break through into these things or to go back. Listen, boy, folks, I'm going to just speak to you just heart to heart. We have a lot of families in this church with little kids, you know, teenagers all the way up, you know, into, you know, grown kids who are about ready to move out and things. I understand there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of work to be done. There's all this stuff, you know, that tries to, you know, pull on our time or whatever. And we've allowed that to steal. We've allowed it. It's put our hands down. We've got new jobs. You know, here's... I'll do it, Lord. Go over. Praise God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, the Spirit of God just said to me, it says, some of my people are forgetting me. They're forgetting me. See, you know, I'll tell you what, it blesses me. And I'm here to tell you, there's been a lot of promotions that have come to this church and to the people in this place. I've seen in 2019, I had literally like once or twice, sometimes three or four times a week, somebody's emailing me about a promotion they got at work and an increase in pay and new doors have opened. Folks, let's not forget where that came from. And when I say that, I don't mean it came from family church. That's not what I'm saying. It came from the Word of God. Go over there to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and go to verse 9. And we're going to read this. How many of you know God had a promise to them? God said, I'm going to give you something good. Watch this. Go to Deuteronomy 8, 9. He says, I'm going to give you a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. How many of you want that? No lack. He said, you shall not lack anything in the land. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass or copper. All right, that means, you know, so that they could have better instruments and weapons and so on. It says, and when you have eaten and are full, God says, I want to fill you up. I want to give you a land that there's no lack. People have this idea that poverty came from God. What an insult. What an insult to the provider. There's entire religions that take vows of poverty and say God told them to do it. No, you're making a liar out of God. God doesn't want you, you know, with scarceness. He wants you full. He says, I'm going to put you in a land that there will be no lack in it. I'm going to give you plenty of bread. Glory to God. He says, and you're going to eat, and when you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. He says, beware. Now, here comes the warning. How many of you know with financial prosperity in the Word, there always comes a warning not to let it get you too comfortable? He says, beware that you forget not the Lord. You know, a wise pastor, he said to me, we were having lunch a couple of years ago down in Tennessee, and this man's been pastoring for 40 years, and a man that I just respect, he pastors down in Florida, and he said this, you know, we were talking about the abuses in the prosperity gospel in the body of Christ today. There's things being said on Christian TV that no minister has the business of saying, all right? However, there is a truth to biblical prosperity. God's not scared to prosper you above measure, but it always comes with right character, right diligence, submission, and sacrifice, and generosity, all right? See, the prosperity gospel today is just preachers getting up there and telling people how rich God wants to make them. And then the preacher stands up there and says, all right, now that God wants you rich, the way that you get rich is give money to my ministry. And they take up a big offering. Those people go home excited. But actually what happened is they got stolen from because that preacher did not preach the other side, which is character and integrity and the warning. And this pastor down in Florida, he said this. He said, well, you know what? Nowhere in the scripture are we ever warned to be too salvation-minded. He said, nowhere in the scripture are we warned to be too healing-minded. He never told us to be too praise and worship-minded. But the scripture warns us over and over and over not to be too money-minded. So with prosperity, there always comes a warning not to pull back and to forget the Lord. See, that's what the Spirit of God said to me just a moment ago. You know, and all of a sudden these scriptures started to play in my heart. He says, I'm going to put you in a land that there's no lack in it. I'm going to get you iron and brass. I'm going to fill your houses. I'm going to fill you up. He says, but now beware, because if you're not careful, you'll allow those things in your life, that new job, that increased pay, that successful business, you know, new things that have come into your life. All of a sudden you start to forget the Lord. Folks, that can even happen when we have children. And it's not because kids are, of course, kids are a great blessing, you know, but all of a sudden, you know, we're coming into church, and I've seen some of you. There was a time I remember where you were standing in the house of God, putting everything on the table, and you had less than you have now. What, did God just give you so much now that you don't lift your hands anymore? God gave me so much, I don't serve in the house of the Lord anymore. God gave me so much, I don't come excited to church anymore. There was a time when I've seen people in this church, they just couldn't wait to get here. They fought to be in the front rows. And over time, something stole their joy about the house of God. I don't see them lifting hands anymore. All of a sudden now, if we're not careful, yes, even in this place, people become the frozen chosen. People sit down, and now they're not exuberant. They've lost that shout. They've lost that praise. You better stir it up. You better break out. You better take force, you know, and break through that flesh. Oh, amen. Look at this. He says, beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day. Notice, if you're not careful, prosperity will get you away from obeying the word of the Lord. Boy, Pastor, be good to me. I fought through the snowstorm to be here today. Folks, I'll tell you what. It is time. If you've allowed some things to grow cold in your life with God, break out. Break through that. God's not going to break through it for you. He told you to break out of it. Told you to sing. Yeah. Look at this in verse 12. He says, lest when you have eaten and are full and you've built goodly houses and dwell therein. And when your herds, not if your herds, he says when. God wants you to live in a good house. God wants you to have a full herd. That means a full business, good income. When your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Notice that didn't make God mad. He didn't say, oh, what are you doing? Get back to that poverty. Listen, anyone who says that God prefers humanity poor, they need to go into a third world country and walk the streets of people that are eating mice and rats, you know, and see how oppressive. See, when people are living in garbage piles, when people are living on dirt floors, when children are running in the streets with mongrel animals and you can see their ribs and they're starving, that's oppressive. That is not God's plan. God did never give Jesus so that you went without. He said, but through him we should have all good things. Right? Sounds like, what is that? 1 Peter 1:3. He's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. He says, and when your herds and when your flocks multiply, when your money is multiplied, and when all that you have is multiplied, keep going, verse 14, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, meaning you don't do what you used to do for him anymore. You don't serve him like you used to, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, don't you forget where you came from. Don't forget the bondage that you were delivered from. Well, praise the Lord. Why are we on this? This is not the plan, but it is now. Verse 15, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought. There was no water. Who brought you forth out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do good at thy latter end, that you would say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. He says, you be careful. He says, verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto your fathers as it is this day. Does God want you blessed? Yes. Does he want you fully provided for? Yes. All right. But is there a warning? Yes, there is. The warning is money is no good if it slows you down in the house of God. If all of a sudden that prosperity and that blessing came in and you're no longer on fire with him anymore, then it wasn't a blessing. It was a curse. Get some help out of this today. That's why the Spirit of God said, some of my people have forgotten me. You know, and where this is going is that they, you know, back to Isaiah 54, verse 1, some people, they've lost their singing. They've lost their shout. They're just walking into church like robots. And there was a day when you used to be hands up. You used to be praise God. Listen, get back to that if you have to. And if you've never been there before, break into that. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to have a dignified church. You know, I just want to sit here. And I don't want to have to do anything. I don't want to have to praise. I don't want to have to be uncomfortable. Everything in society is driven by the comfort and convenience of people. Folks, when you come into the house of God, do everything you can to inconvenience yourself. Put your flesh under. Shout if you've got to. Praise him. Break through. Glory to God. Don't be left behind in this new decade. Glory to God. So instruction number one, he said, break forth. And don't let your emotions stop you. Don't let, you know, the circumstances around you stop you. You don't have to feel like it. And if everything in your life is crumbling around you, that is the perfect time to start praising and worshiping God. Yes. Well, I know. Say, well, Pastor, I wanted something more interesting. I wanted, you know, to get real academic and go here and go there. That's not what this message is for. This message is for when we come into the house of God, we are to fill it with his praises. Front to back, side to side, lifting hands, worshiping him. It's what God has always wanted and desired. I'm going to say something that's going to make someone mad, and I'm not trying to. It's just in my heart to say. Church has gotten way too casual. Church has gotten way too casual. When I say that, I'm not talking about the way we dress. Though I do believe this. Bring your best for God. Bring your best. You know, church in America has gotten so casual. It's getting, you know, to the point where it's more about the coffee bar it's more about the entertainment. You know, it's more about our musicians looking like, you know, grunge artists or something. I don't even know what you even call it. There's sloppiness in the house of God. It's rare when people see a minister in a suit and tie. I've had so many people, of course, around here, we're used to it. But in our Erie church, we have new visitors and they say, oh my goodness, a preacher still wearing a suit and tie? We don't see that anymore. And I just say, well, you're going to see it here. Not because we're trying to be religious, not because there's a dress code, but because it speaks to our desire to put our best out for God. Churches are buying everywhere this idea of dressing down. Listen, I know that's going to seem, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just saying we are living in a casual church time. And God's fire is not going to visit the casual church. Here we are. Here's our rock song. Here's our coffee. And oh, by the way, the coffee announcement has nothing to do with this, by the way. We just don't want to have to dry clean our chairs all the time. But you know, it's casual. And if you found yourself getting casual with God, have you ever been there before? It's time to break out. Glory to God. All right, go back over to Isaiah. And we're fixing to close, or at least going to our next point. Go down there. Isaiah 54, and go to verse 2 now. He told them in verse 1, sing. He said, shout. He says, second thing he says, enlarge the place of your tent. Now, what does that mean? Did they literally go that day? He says, start seeing something bigger. This is speaking of vision. He says, you better understand there's a lot more at play than just the tough trial that you're facing. There's a lot more at stake than just the desolation that surrounds you in this life. Right? He says, now see with the eye of faith, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. And look at this next two words. These are the words that are stuck in my heart, and I know I'm supposed to minister on them. Spare not. Spare not. Here's instruction number two. Number one was to break forth, all right, to sing, to shout. To bring your praise. Say, oh, that just makes me so uncomfortable. That's not my denomination. That's not my church history. God is not going to argue with you. How many excuses will we have to not do the instruction of the Lord? Say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. That was to Israel. Should we go to the New? And take you all through the verses that tell you to do that in the New? Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm excited about 2020. I'm excited. God said there are breakthroughs coming to this church. But get my people in a place where they, with an eye of faith, they see the breakthrough before the breakthrough. He says, spare not. Here's the second instruction. Spare not. And the reason why this is jumping out to me, because this is exactly what believers tend to do when they go through a tough time. They start to spare. All right? All of a sudden, you know, they get distracted, and all of a sudden, they spare in prayer. Spare means to lessen or to hold back. They spare in their prayer time. They spare in their word time. They spare in their giving. They spare in their serving. Listen, if you need to break out, you cannot spare with God. And this is what's going on in so many places, that they're holding back from what the Lord ultimately wanted them to do. He wants us to shout. He wants us to sing. Amen. Listen, if you've had a dull prayer life, just go ahead and decide right now, 2020 is going to be the year where you pray more. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I'm excited. I've set some time aside where I'm going to be praying right here in this sanctuary. I'm going to be praying here. I'm going to be praying for you. You know, I'm going to be praying for the vision that God has for this church. But I tell you what this church, you know, again, the assignment is not let it be just a leadership thing, all of us participating. Amen. Spare not. This is what people do when desolation comes. They begin to spare. It means to withhold or to keep back. People start to spare in all areas. They spare with God. Yeah. Yes. One way you know you've allowed depression to get a hold of you is that you are no longer excited about giving. One way you know that you've let depression get a hold of you is that you're no longer excited about praising. Yes. Spare not. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. Amen. Don't let that trial come and steal your time with God, steal your joy with God. Amen. Lest we forget and start to say that our hand has done these things. Amen. Are you ready for this new year?
Yes.
Are you ready to break out?
Yes.
Are you ready to be doers of it, even when it makes your flesh crawl? Say, well, this just doesn't interest me. Listen, I have people tell me stuff like that all the time. I am not here to preach what interests people. I'm here to preach what ushers in the presence of God. And I'll tell you what, you wait and see when this, and I'm going to just keep on preaching it. Because all of a sudden, it's going to get a hold of your heart. And you're going to walk into this place different. And then you're going to start noticing when you come into this place different, that difference is going to follow you home. And all of a sudden, things in your home are going to start stretching out. Things in your marriage are going to start popping, right? Things with your kids are going to start happening. Things in your business are going to start happening. All that enlargement, all that promotion, all the good that God had for them started with a willingness on their part to break out. Break through that flesh. Break through what you see around you. Say, Pastor, this is a preachy message. It's not a teaching message. You're right. There is more preaching here today than there is teaching. That's okay. Sometimes to move the hearts of people into action, you have to preach. You have to preach. Amen. Now, here's the homework. If you're being sober with yourself and you ask yourself, I'm doing less now for God than I was at some time in the past. If that's the answer, it's time to pick up those feet. It's time to do something. Listen, I noticed this. I was going down the road the other day, and I'm just by myself, you know, in my vehicle. And I just found myself just saying, praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just glorify you. Listen, yes, in the house of God, but yes, also in your home. Listen, if depression is trying to get on you, discouragement, praise your way out of it. Don't let that thing steal your joy. Glory to God. He says, enlarge the place of your vision. What do you see that's going to move into your life in this year? What do you believe is going to happen in this church in this year? Well, he said, shout like you believe it. He said, sing like you believe it. Well, praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Yes. You know, I'll tell you what, these first four verses of Isaiah 54. Hey, why don't you go down to verse 13 because he's still talking. Yes, this is still for the singers. This is for the shouters. See, if you're new to this church, you come in and say, you know, all this shouting and praising kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. Boy, I tell you what, you're not going to like the throne room of God. What does the Bible say that it's around the throne of God? Lightnings, thunders, and voices. Right? Where those angels, they stand around the throne of God day and night and they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Nonstop, they never stop talking in heaven. They never stop praising. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, it's time to have heaven on earth. Where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, let all your children, and all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. This is still talking about the beginning of verse 1. Those that sing, those that break out, those that'll shout, those that will not forget the Lord, right? Go down to verse 17. These are verses that we're used to, aren't we? Put them in context. It's for the shouters. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. In every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. How many of you want your children at full peace the rest of your life? All right? How many of you want to live a life where no weapon formed against you will prosper? These are the results of those that will step out beyond the flesh. Amen. Break out. Break through. Oh, Pastor. I know it's like Christians act like lifting hands and praising is like yanking off a Band-Aid. They act like a 10-year-old going up a roller coaster for the first time. Oh, my God, what's going on? Oh. What would happen if I actually stood in church and did this? What if I actually looked to heaven and started praising him? What would that look like? This world needs to see it. You know what unfortunately has happened? We're living in a day and a time. The church looks more like the world than the world looking like the church. Instead of drawing them into what God said to do, we've allowed them to draw us into what they do. Listen, these retrofits that we're going to do, it's not just about, you know, construction here at the church. It's not because we needed anything more to do, all right? It's about giving God what he wants on the altar, all right, and making it about his altar. Amen, where it's not about entertainment. People need to come in to a church and hear soaring praise. They need to see that God is grand. And they need to sense God's presence in this place. And they need to see something different. Because you know what? Like I said, the church looks awful. You know, it looks awfully like a pagan, a heathen rock concert. Doesn't look any different. And I don't say that to be critical. It's like, wow, look at that platform. It looks just like the drug-induced concerts I used to go to. Looks different. Looks just the same. You know what? And it sounds a lot the same, too. Remember when Israel carried the ark on a cart like the Philistines? Remember that? And remember as they carried the ark, remember they were instructed. God said, no, don't carry the ark on a cart. You carry it with priests, carrying four priests carrying it on poles, one priest at each corner. But remember, they saw the Philistines moving it with a cart. All right, and remember, they put David and the rest, they put that Ark of the Covenant on the cart. Remember that? And while it was rolling along, you know, the wagon hit a bump, and it kind of shook the ark. And Uzzah, remember, he put forth his hand just to keep it from falling, and the man was struck dead. See, it is dangerous to people's lives to take the world's examples to do God's instructions. Right? We cannot be like that, where we look at the world and take that example. So you say, well, Pastor, this just seems different. It seems odd. Think about it. The church has fallen to such a place that when a group of people actually decide to just follow the Word of God meticulously, it seems weird and out of place. If that's what it takes, I'm willing to do it. Say, well, Pastor, you know, those kinds of things don't grow churches. Well, they do if you're growing it God's way. They do if you grow it God's way. Amen. Listen, folks, say, well, Pastor, you know, we're out to reach everybody. Yes, that's true. We are out to reach everybody. But if you think that everybody is going to come into this church and stay, you're mistaken. We are looking for those that have a desire to know God. And all they want is, I just need to know him. Remember in the book of Job? Remember when Job cried out? He said, if I just knew him. If I just had someone to explain God to me, then we wouldn't have this confusion. Remember that? Well, we have the middleman. We have Jesus. Glory to God. Are you ready for this new year? Break out. Break through. If you've allowed things to go quiet for God, get it back. Stir yourself up. Make this new decade the best decade of your life. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, I thank you for this special church family. Father, those that would fight through the weather to be here today, Lord, I thank you. You bless them. Lord, that they did not just take a casual excuse and not come to church. But Lord, they did. They just said, hey, it's time to be with the Lord. And Father, they got here. And so, Lord, we just thank you that they're blessed. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory here today. Father, you are good. And Lord, you told Israel in the midst of desolation, you told them to sing. You said when everything in their circumstances gave them an excuse to be sad and depressed, you told them to shout. Father, you told them to break through. You told them to break out. Lord, so often we're looking at you waiting for you to break out, but you did. You came to this earth 2,000 years ago in the Son of the Living God, and you showed us what it is to be fully surrendered to the Word of God. And Father, that is our heart here. We're just going to fully surrender. Father, if you want praise, it's praise that you're going to get. Lord, so often we think the only kind of giving is with our money. Father, no, we're going to bring you our praise and our worship. Father, we thank you that it delivers us from depression and anxiety. Father, we thank you that it gives us a chance to release our faith and to crucify our flesh. Lord, you are so good. We just praise you. Father, I just know that there's a lot of people here today. They're stirred up. They realize that it's time to get back. It's time to stir up that praise again. Father, we understand that distractions in this life come. But Lord, we are not going to forget you. We are not going to forget what it was that brought us to a good place. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. Father, we worship you. Father, not because it's just a new year or a new decade, but Lord, it's because the pillar of fire is moving. And Lord, you're leading us and directing us into things to do that will have ramifications for many, many souls. People that we don't even know, people that we have never seen, whose lives will be changed forever because we decided to be faithful. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? I know we're mostly family here today, and I know this room is filled with believers, but I don't want to just assume anything. If you're here today and you've never personally made Jesus your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something real quick. And it's the truth, because I love you and I care about you. The fact of the matter is that the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all men, all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It goes on to tell us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of our God is salvation through Jesus our Lord. And so is eternal life. And so man, every human being has sinned on this earth. And every human being will pay the wage of sin, which is eternal death, unless they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll choose to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So listen, eternal death in a place called hell is not necessary. You don't have to go there. God made a way for all of us to be saved, saved from our sin. He sent Jesus to this earth, who went to that cross, who paid the punishment that we deserved. He died and rose again so that we could be saved. And the Bible says, if you will simply put your faith in that, you will be saved. And if that's you here today, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front today. I'm not going to send you off to talk to somebody in a room. But if that's you and you know you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm just simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice that you're not saved, but you sure want to be? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. And that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. It's a good plan. And it includes being taught the word. Is there anybody else that you just know in your heart you want to be saved? Well, we had several hands. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. We're all going to pray this. Now, we're not just praying it as a ritual. We're talking to God sincerely. And if you lifted your hand, pray these words out of your mouth. We're all going to be praying with you, so you will not be alone. You will not stand out. Speak to the Lord with all of your heart. He will hear you. He will reward your faith and begin a new life with Him. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer together. Everyone pray with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Are you glad you came to the house of the Lord here today? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just so glad to see new folks coming to Jesus. We just want to encourage you. If you're one of the ones that lifted your hand just a moment ago, again, we're not here to point you out. But when we dismiss here in just a few moments, there's a salvation card. It's attached to this little flyer that's in the seat back in front of you. And all it says is, today I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Put your name on it. You know, we don't do this to get your name or to get your information. We do it so that we have an opportunity to show God that we mean business with Him. And so if that was you, go ahead, fill that out. Before you leave, come on up, give it to Pastor Brad, our associate pastor. I will be up front for just a few moments. You can give that to me or give it to an usher. Or if you're uncomfortable with that, just leave it face down on the seat and we will get that and we'll keep you in prayer and so on. And so you can begin your new life with the Lord. Amen. All right, did you get some help here today? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, just a reminder, me and Pastor Brad, we're going to be up front here for a few moments after we dismiss. If I have not had a chance to meet and greet with you, please come on up and see us. I'll be here for a few moments, and then I'm going to get going because there's a dear brother who's recovering from surgery here today, and I'm going to get over to see him. It's Pete, of course. He's had a knee replacement, and I want to go over and see our precious board member and our wonderful brother. And so if you see me leave, you'll know why. Pastor Brad will be up here. We just want to be here for you. Amen. Let's just give him all the praise and glory. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are so good and faithful. Father, we command your blessing upon each one here today. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout in. Amen. You are